Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
The National Public Health Emergency Team, NPHET, has advised that Dublin be moved to level 3 COVID risk rating. But will this latest move be enough to quell the rising incidence of the virus that's spreading rapidly throughout the capital? In a moment, we're going to hear from Dr. Paddy Mallon, UCD Professor of Microbial Diseases. But first, I'm joined by Jack Chambers, Government Chief Whip and Minister of State for the Gaeltacht and Sports. Good evening to you, Jack Chambers. First off, moving to level 3, the advice from NPHET, that means the visitors only from one other household, no social or family gatherings, no indoor gatherings, no matches or events except elite sport, additional restrictions for indoor dining, and basically stay in your county except for work and essential travel purposes. Is that going to be enough, or are there to be additional restrictions applied to the capital, do you think? Jack Chambers, can you hear me?
Sorry, Philip. Yeah, just there was an issue with the line there. Obviously, the issue in Dublin is extremely concerning, and we've seen a serious escalation in the incidence of COVID-19 throughout the county, with increasing clusters across all ages, where there's obviously serious concerns about the risk to the older and more vulnerable population. And that's reflected in the R rate, which the reproductive value is significantly increasing. So government obviously took additional measures earlier on this week to try and implemented NPHET's advice relating to Dublin. And there's a process now where the government will consider NPHET's advice. As you know, you're reporting something that hasn't yet come to government, but will be considered through the new structures that have been established in the Resilience and Recovery Plan, where it'll be considered by the Cabinet Oversight Group, the Cabinet COVID Committee, and the issues around potential restrictions will be teased out. But obviously the overarching consideration for government and I think for the broader public is that we try and suppress the virus in Dublin and around the country, because we're seeing
We're aware of that. We're aware of that assessment. We're aware of that assessment, Jack. I'm just asking you, what do you think the additional measures over and above those set out in level 3 might be?
Well, obviously, we haven't yet seen any advice that's come from NPHET, except for what you're reporting relate to level 3, and they're set out in the framework that have been referenced by yourself. So, I haven't any other knowledge about what additional restrictions might be there. But any additional restrictions that are recommended will have to be carefully considered by government, because what we don't want to see is the disease and COVID rippling into really vulnerable sectors of our community and our country, which will have a significant impact on our ICU capacity and our hospital system.
Okay.
And we don't want to see a similar trend to what happened in the springtime. And we know what works is limiting our contacts, reducing gatherings, and having protective measures in place. And
indeed.
That's why
I wonder,
plan is appropriate.
Do you accept that part of the reason that we are where we are is because you were behind the curve in government in acting on NPHET's advice from last week, and during that time lag, the 14-day incidence rate doubled?
I don't accept that. If you look at, we implemented NPHET's advice at Cabinet earlier on this week, and the Cabinet actually stated
5 days after you got it.
Well, the NPHET advice said they considered whether the situation in Dublin warranted an escalation of restricted movements to level 3, however agreed that while the situation is extremely concerning, the current epidemiological data does not support a move to level 3 at this time, and we fully implemented that.
Yes.
And what we will do...
But 5 days after you got the advice, during which time the incidence rate doubled.
And that's why NPHET have met today, and why government and the process that's been outlined is there tomorrow. What you can be very clear about is, in August, when additional restrictions were introduced around sports, and difficult decisions were made which weren't palatable for the public and were difficult for government. Government made those decisions and fronted up and were honest with the public about the trend that occurred at that time.
I wonder why it is that you're not
shirk from making the right decisions in the interest of public
health. We're not saying that you shirked from them, just that you were very tardy in the manner in which you implemented them. I wonder why you're not accepting that when your cabinet colleague Simon Harris is reported today as saying that it was inexcusable not to have acted on public health advice in a more timely manner.
Well, you know that the advice coming from NPHET has come in the last hour, and the government is acting quickly in having a process to meet tomorrow, the oversight group, the cabinet committee on COVID, and then the cabinet will make a decision to actually implement this advice and to produce any.
But you know, I'm talking about the advice that you got last week that you didn't actually act on until Tuesday of this week.
Well, in fact, we had many spokespeople and government representatives throughout the weekend actually referencing Dublin, where we were encouraging people to reduce their contacts, to limit their gatherings, to protect vulnerable people in their communities. And the message from government has been consistent for over a week now about trying to flag the serious issue and trend we were seeing in Dublin that's reflected in the growing incidence of COVID-19 in the city, but also in the broader country. And that's why we need to see the people trying to get back to the basics of limiting their contacts and trying to actually reduce the spread and suppress the virus in the city. Okay. Because we obviously have a very concerning trend combined with the risk that will happen in the natural evolution of health in terms of the flu and other matters that occur in our acute hospital system. We're very keen on trying to suppress this virus before it gets out of control and it will have a severe impact on our hospital system.
Perhaps,
and that's why we're being very clear around the messaging.
Okay, well, it's perhaps unfair of me to ask you to answer for the whole of Cabinet, given that you have yet to meet in response to what NPHET is recommending. But I can ask you, seeing as you have responsibility for sports, if we go to level 3 now, what does this mean for sporting activities across the capital?
So there would be, if there was an implementation of level 3, no matches or sports events would be permitted in Dublin for this period other than those specifically referenced in the framework. So, for example, elite and professional sports events, inter-county GA, ladies or football.
So the AC Milan match tonight would go ahead undisturbed and on the same basis with the same number of
spectators.
Ireland,
a League of Ireland match would happen, or a rugby fixture or an inter-county fixture or a club championship fixture would occur. But the day-to-day matches that would happen in our local clubs would not be permitted under the current framework under Level 3. And then there would be restrictions on where there would only be non-contact training permitted outdoors, where there would be training in pods of 15, and there would be additional restrictions. There would be restrictions on indoor training, where only individual training will be allowed, and would have an impact on classes. So this would obviously be a really serious escalation of public health advice, and I suppose that's the context of the trend we're seeing, unfortunate trend we're seeing in our city, and why we need to take action.
You have a very serious job of communication to do tomorrow. What lessons have you learnt from the shambolic communications of Tuesday?
Well, as the government chief whip, as the minister, I like everybody else in cabinet, I think it's important to take the advice of the chief medical officer. And when people say that ministers should restrict their movements and act with an abundance of caution, it's important to communicate that properly to the. For example, to the Count Corla and the Clerk of the Dáil.
I'll come to that question in a moment, but I'm asking you more generally now in terms of the communication of a COVID plan now that the capital city is to move to level 3, possibly, if you do accept the advice of NPHET. What are you going to do in terms of the messaging that would be different to the mess of last Tuesday?
Well, look, everyone in government is trying to deliver a very clear message to the public around reducing their contacts and limiting their gatherings and trying to work from home and to try and stop the spread of this virus. So we will be doing everything across government to communicate the message and the seriousness of level 3 if that is the decision of government, because we have a duty to that in the interests of public health, protecting our hospital system and the vulnerable people.
What I'm thinking here is, I mean, are we going to see three members of government standing before the press corps and delivering Churchillian endorsements to us all to pull together? Or are we going to hear very simple, plain, clear messaging? This is what you have to do now.
I think it's about clear messaging, and it's about telling people, how many people, and you know, in terms of their if for example, advice on numbers of people that can enter or exit a household, clear advice on training and sports, clear advice on gatherings. Gatherings and uncontrolled environments and households are one of the main points of spread of this virus. So we'll be absolutely clear in the guidance and advice to try and intervene and interrupt the trend of transmission that we're seeing, which is very much linked to uncontrolled environments. And obviously an escalation to level 3 would reinforce that. And if that is the advice that's implemented, we'll be doing everything to actually communicate that message to people.
And at exactly this time 2 days ago on Tuesday, the Ceann Comhairle stood up before the Chamber and said that the dole was to adjourn because the entire Cabinet had to self-isolate. Now, we now know that that was a mistake and that there was something went wrong in the chain of communication and the message that arrived to his desk. You were involved in that chain of communication. What happened?
So the Chief Medical Officer obviously issued guidance that ministers had to act in an abundance of caution and restrict their movements, and that was communicated to me, and as Chief Whip I was obliged to inform the Clerk of the Dáil and obviously Minister's attendance.
So you didn't talk to the Taoiseach, you only talked to the CMO before taking this action, did you?
The implications of the public health advice, it came to government and the implications of the public advice were significant, and when that adjournment occurred, it was the Dáil schedule was reorganised where ministers of state would stand up and
You're skipping ahead here though, Jack Chambers. Can you tell me please, what is it that you said to either the Clerk of the Dáil or to Seán Ó Fíorchaoin?
We communicated the public health advice around ministers having to restrict their movements and the implications that would have on ministers' attendance.
So you're saying you didn't use the term self-isolate?
We said use the term restrict their movements.
And you didn't say self-isolate?
I used the term that members of Cabinet have had to restrict their movements. And to be fair, everybody acted in good faith and acted quickly in the best interests of public health. And that's what I think everyone has to remember in the context of a pandemic, in the context of the implications it would have in for the Dáil as well.
Do you know then who it was that made the mistaken assumption that the Cabinet had to self-isolate?
I think you're whether it's self-isolate or restricting their movements, it has an implication on ministers' attendance in the Dáil chamber. And that was the clear public health message.
Well, no, really, because self-isolate implied that there was a positive test result, which there wasn't at that stage. And I'm just wondering, do you know, have you established yet who made the mistake?
What I sought to establish at that time was communicating the public health advice and ministers having to restrict their movements and act in abundance of caution. And as I've said, the summons was issued, the Dáil returned just after, in 2 hours later, and the clear prerogative and guidance was people acting in the best interests of public health. And then thankfully, Minister Stephen Donnelly got a negative result and the full Dáil schedule was restored
Absolutely. But you're confirming, contrary to opposition suspicions, that the Taoiseach did not suggest to you that the Dáil should adjourn at any stage?
The Taoiseach issued a summons for 8 p.m. that a new schedule would be organised.
No, before that, did the Taoiseach say anything to you about adjourning the Dáil before you communicated to either the Clerk or to the Ceann Comhairle?
The message was communicated to government by the Chief Medical Officer, and that was communicated to me to inform the Clerk of the Dáil and the Ceann Comhairle.
Okay, and nobody suggested, neither you nor the Taoiseach suggested to the Ceann Comhairle that the Dáil should be adjourned at that stage?
Well, obviously there would be an implication on ministers attending, so a discussion was had on an adjournment, and then as the Ceann Comhairle referenced in his communication to the Dáil, that the Taoiseach could inform the Dáil about.
Okay,
a discussion
was had. Can you be a bit clearer about that, please?
There was a discussion between the Clerk of the Dáil and myself when I communicated the message to the to the that was communicated.
Did you suggest that there should be an adjournment, or did he infer that on his own?
There was a discussion about that.
Did you suggest to him that there should be an adjournment in that
discussion? Well, obviously, there was a discussion about potential adjournment and the ministers, the impact that would have on the ministers.
And what did you suggest?
Well, we discussed. It was a quick discussion, so that was the basis of it. And we then had a discussion. Obviously, we didn't have knowledge when a test result would come back, so there was uncertainty about the timeline in which.
I know, but you see how it is that I might be concluding here. You're being evasive in the answer to this question. Did you suggest that there should be an adjournment?
There was a discussion around that and the impact that ministers' attendance would have in the Dáil. I mean, the discussion happened
quickly.
Okay,
I'll try one last time, Jack, before we move on, and people can draw their own conclusions about the way that you're answering this question. Did you propose to the clerk of the Dáil that the Dáil should be adjourned?
When I gave the public health advice that was received relating to ministers and them having to restrict their movement, I outlined the impact that would have on the Dáil and its ability to conduct the business with ministers present, and the impact that would have on the Dáil. And a discussion was had, obviously, on the immediate Dáil business. And it was a discussion on the base on the impact of the current Dáil schedule. And we obviously didn't know the timeline of when a test result would be received back, and that's why the Dáil was adjourned. And then a new Dáil schedule was organised immediately, and a summons was issued by the Taoiseach, so that a new Dáil schedule was outlined and the Dáil was restored for 8 p.m.
Jack Chambers, Chief Whip, thank you very much for joining us this evening. Paddy Mallon, Professor of Microbial Diseases at UCD, good evening to you. Does it come to you as any surprise that NPHET has recommended going to level 3?
No, not at all. I think that what we've been doing over the last couple of weeks with the various restrictions that we've had in place, unfortunately, we haven't seen that impact on the rise in numbers. So it's inevitable that if the plan's in place to control the rise in numbers, and it's not controlling the rise in numbers, that we would move up one phase and see if that works.
Where most of the infections are occurring at the moment, as we understand from NPHET's figures, is in households. So we're moving in Dublin now from a situation where you can have 6 people from 2 or 3 other households to allowing people from 1 other household to come into the house. Is that enough? Is that commensurate to where we are and the exponential rise of infections that we've seen just in the last 6-7 days?
So it's about breaking this transmission cycle. This virus is actually quite easy to control if you get good buy-in. And the issue around this household transmission is really critical, because a household transmission, it's very difficult to police. Everyone's in their own houses. So you really need the public to buy in to the fact that this is where the problem is. And then you need their actions to simply interrupt transmission. The easiest way to interrupt transmission is not to meet people. And it's that simple. So this, this measure could have a huge impact if you get public buy-in, and it could have a huge impact very, very quickly right across the country. As Ronan Glynn has said, although there's been a lot of talk about Dublin and the focus is on Dublin, Ronan Glynn has said that this is an issue right across the country. And I think for the next couple of weeks, if everyone just retreats a bit into their own household bubbles and avoids unnecessary contact, we can break that transmission cycle, and hopefully we can see the numbers dropping, and dropping rapidly.
Indeed, the focus has been on Dublin. Are you surprised that we're not moving to level 3 now in Louth and in Waterford, given that their rates are ahead of where Kildare, Laois and Offaly were before they were shut down? Well, sorry, their restrictions were increased.
I mean, I think NPHET will look at all of the different parameters. So it's about the rates of transmissions, it's about hospitalizations, it's about the efficiency of the public health frontline responses. All of these factors will all feed into the recommendations that they're given. So obviously, what the decision that they've come to today is focused around Dublin. But Ronan Glynn's made it pretty clear that this is a problem that is a national problem. The solution is a national solution. The framework that's there is really to help guide us through this process of living with the virus. So it will be a regional framework. But the basics in terms of breaking this transmission cycle within the home, that's something that we can all do because we will all benefit. Every single county will benefit by getting their local transmission rates even lower because it's low community transmission rates that enables us to live a more normal life. And that's we need to get back to where we were in June, July, and early August, where we had that bit of societal freedom. And we can get back there by doing what I think are these relatively simple measures that Ronan Glynn and Philip Nolan are saying, focusing on the household and focusing on breaking that transmission cycle within the household.
Paddy Mallon, Professor of Microbial Diseases in UCD, thank you very much.